Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
How fun is it that on this 4th of July weekend, I have my good friend Michael Austin with Christian History Magazine, Baptists in America. So they were Dunkin' Donuts before they were... Is that right, Michael?
Dunkin' Donuts. Okay. Yeah. They were Dunkers.
They were Dunkers, and they were in America.
There were Dunkers down the line, yeah.
There were
Dunkers. The predecessors were Dunkers among many others. Amazing story, the Baptists.
They are. And also with us today, very interesting guest. We have Dr. Ken Redcross.
And that would be me. And hello, guys. How are you?
Dr. Ken, I have to ask, I'm sure you've been asked a million times, did your last name just seem like you were destined to be a doctor?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the funny part is this shows you that the good Lord has a sense of humor, let me tell you.
So, the tagline I have for Dr. Redcross is bracing for bloodsuckers.
I know, right? It's all staying in the vein of that blood and the Red Cross name.
Oh, you're going to love where we're going, Doctor, because this mysterious biting disease is on the rise as the Northeast prepares for a tick explosion. So we're going to find out a lot more from Dr. Ken, but as you might guess, speaking of blood, I have to tell this story. A close relative of mine, who I have to admit is blonde, but that just may give you an idea of what was going on. You may know that people that take blood, they're called phlebotomists. And so maybe you've heard the word phlebotomy before. Well, if your veins are kind of sticking out of your skin, they call that phlebitis. And one time I was over at this relative's house, and she looked at me and she said, Robbie, are there any fleas in my house? Have you ever seen fleas? And I said, no, I've never seen a flea. Well, how did I get this phleabitis?
No, oh my God.
That is a true, absolutely true story, and I had to explain. So, along the line of phleabitis, a red blood count, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, could be a communist vampire.
Oh my.
A red blood count? Think about it.
Oh my.
And Dr. Redcross told me, you really did tell me that a blood-sucking arachnid from the moon would be a lunatic.
Oh, my God. And I keep walking right into these, Robbie. You realize that, right? I'm walking right into each and every one.
And I understand that a lot of people come to Dr. Redcross to blood test their secretarial candidates. You know why? It eliminates the type O's.
Oh, my. Oh, my. This just gets better.
Those secretaries that have typos, well, there you go.
I need to come on weekly with you.
You may also know that a pessimist blood type, Michael, not that you're a pessimist, but a pessimist blood type is always B negative.
Definitely.
With all those shenanigans, I would actually get to a riddle that is coming. And here comes the riddle. It's a Bible riddle. If money talks, here's the question. Why do we need bank tellers? If money talks, why do we need bank tellers? We have talking donkeys and we have talking blood in the Bible. Were you aware of that? That blood talks in the Bible? Where did blood talk in the Bible? 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. But I also heard this joke, and I meant to actually do it in the Christian Car Guy show. Because it was keeping with the matter. So this doesn't have to do with blood, but it's just a phenomenal joke. And because we're at this part of the show, I really want to share it, Michael and Dr. Ken. Is it okay? We got plenty of time. We got an hour, so you got time for my funny joke. Even my wife laughed at this joke, and my wife does she, dear?
She never laughs at your jokes.
She just despises them. But
there are things she laughs at, but it's not
so
your
anyway,
joke.
This pastor took up giving shaves to men, that in his church because he wasn't making enough through the offering. And so you know, one of his parishioners would come in there and he would give him a shave for $5. And this guy was really just loving it. And he came in there one time and the pastor had left and his wife was there. And as you might imagine, like most pastors, you know, her wife, the wife's name was Grace. And so, you know, he's like, Grace, can you give me a shave? And she said, yeah, but there's a difference. My shaves are $20. And he goes, what do you mean $20? He says, well, she says, you know, with your offering lately, you know, the pastor may be ashamed to tell you, but I won't tell you that, you know, you got to step it up. So you got to pay me $20. So she shaves him. And, you know, he's like, okay, I get it. So he didn't feel too bad because at least he was given something in the offering. And next morning he gets up and checks it out and he goes, man, what a shave. I don't have any stubble. The second day, still soft as a baby. I mean, not a single stubble. This goes on for a week and no beard comes back at all. Just amazing. Second week, third week, and now he's just dumbfounded. So he comes back in and of course the pastor's, you know, they're shaving everybody and he's like, where have you been, man? He goes, just not going to believe this, man. Your wife was here the last time I was here and she gave me this shave. And he goes, oh, well, that explains it. He goes, you know, you've been shaved by Grace. And no. once shaved, always shaved. Okay. Now that I've gotten by all that, and you're thinking about calling in, really, because you know when the blood talked in the Bible at 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. I really am concerned about these bloodsuckers. Dr. Ken, what in the world's going on?
Yeah, me too, guys. So I don't know how I can follow all that, Robbie. I don't have as good a material, I don't think, but I'm going to do my best. So we're talking about bloodsuckers, everyone, because this is the time of year where we think about not only mosquitoes, but ticks, especially here in the Northeast and even a little bit further south, Virginia even. My home state is even affected by this. So we need to talk a little bit about ticks and in particular Lyme's disease.
Wow. And I've had some friends that were stricken with that disease, and it is a brutal thing. I mean,
yeah.
And of course, I actually, here in North Carolina, it's not unusual. And of course, Darren knows I had Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever, and I had a dear friend who died from Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever. And so you got all that. So there's all those things going on. So we're gonna talk a bit about that. And Michael, you've been so quiet.
Sure. Yeah, I was waiting for a joke to come along, but, you know, actually, Doc, you got to expect this because, you know, this runs in the family. Speaking of blood.
I get it.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. I'm usually pretty good at this, guys, but I am slow this morning. I can see that right now. I didn't eat my Wheaties to keep up with you guys.
Yeah, you got to hang. But anyway, the cool thing is that Baptists in America, what a great theme to talk about on the 4th of July, because they really had a strategic part in what this country became, right?
They did. The Baptists were there in the beginning, and they were dissenters. A lot of that going on these days. And the humor is well placed here because this is a great history of great people who overcame. They were dissenters and they overcame. You know, the more I look into this, I discover that today we are now today the Anabaptists of the past. And those were the folks that were persecuted by both sides, both the Catholics and the Protestants.
Really?
Were after the Anabaptists. And I think the Anabaptists, that's where we are today. Because, you know, as a matter of fact, it fits right in with your joke.
yeah, Grace climbs all over the religious spirit, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm so glad that you finally told a joke on this show.
It could happen. Well, you may have the answer to that, and you can call us at 866 about the talking blood. 866-348-7884. We're going to find out more about these bloodsuckers and the Baptists. They all kind of fit together. I don't know how, but we'll figure it out when we come back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. On this 4th of July weekend, we're blessed to have Dr. Ken Redcross, who is sharing a message of, you know, sanctity of life. Like, there's some ticks out there that are bloodsuckers that are really going after life. So we're going to find out some more about that. And Michael Austin with Christian History Magazine and their latest article about the Baptists in America. And right before the break, which I should say one more time, if you want to call in and win today, just tell us which blood talked in the Bible. Any place that you saw blood talking in the Bible, we would love to hear that. 866-348-7884. But you were fixed to get into something I really wanted to pursue, where you talked about the lot of where you see the church today being kind of in the middle between one group and the other group as kind of dissenters. Take us where you were going, Michael. Are you there, Michael? We might have lost Michael.
Oh, no.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. I'm here.
You're here.
I'm here. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. I was, I'm fighting a terrible cold, so I was put on mute to cough a little bit. But when you consider this move, I consider it a movement as opposed to a denomination, if you will. And of course, it has become a denomination. But the reason I call it a movement is that there's no particular, you know, big celebrity person like Martin Luther or a Calvin or somebody like that that started a movement and it became his namesake. The Baptists were when you consider something like this a movement, you have to look at its history. You have to look back. And there's a couple of 200-year or at least 100-year cycles to go back into the 1500s where you would find these people who are called Anabaptists. Now, why do they call them Anabaptists? Well, they were folks that had a second baptism. That may sound kind of strange to people, but in those days, and of course in Europe and in the 1500s, Christianity was basically the Catholic faith. Now, there were other very strong traditions, Christians coming along since the time of Jesus, rather unnoticed because they didn't have the big name and the big brand and the control of the politics and control of nations and relationship with nations and all of that stuff that the Catholic Church had. But these folks actually started reading the Bible, which, by the way, in the 1500s, that meant your blood. You got burned at the stake or you got killed in one way or another. It was pretty bad stuff. Everybody was carrying a dagger in those days. And so it was life and death. And I think this is an important thing that we today in our comfort forget, that the Christian life was a matter of life and death in this era. And the Anabaptists, because they were dissenters, and I love this term dissenter, that is a characteristic of Baptists today because, you know, you find Baptists everywhere and you find all kinds of Baptists. They keep splitting. They keep splitting off. It's a wonderful tradition. When you have a difference with other people, you don't go over and kill them or take their blood. you just go your own way and you start something new. Now, a lot of people object to that, especially our brothers and sisters that want to have unity above all. The problem is that so much of our unity above all is unity on the wrong things. But we still have people seeking unity. But the Baptists gave us an amazing tradition of dissenting, and if it didn't work, you just kept on. Mm-hmm. You kept on because you were under conviction, and these people were under conviction of what they had read in the Bible about baptism. That baptism wasn't something that happened to you when you had no idea what was going on when you were before the age of one in the Catholic Church. You were baptized, and that that kind of sealed your fate as a Christian, made you a Christian. That was your entry point. But the Baptists discovered that no, baptism actually is a declaration, should be a declaration to your community and to your society that you are now a believer in Jesus Christ and you are a follower of His.
That's why I love having you on, Michael. Wow. I learn stuff, you know. I get it now. The Anabaptist word was saying they wanted a second baptism because they wanted a baptism after they actually had come to faith.
Right? Absolutely. Wow. And it was their choice. Now, here's another interesting thing, because I think you want to see, or I would like you to see, how the Baptists fit into this American experiment. What's the American experiment?
We got to get to the bloodsuckers before we get to the American experiment. But that's good.
Okay.
You know, back during the American experiment, can you imagine landing in Jamestown with all the bloodsuckers? Talk about Virginia. They were ticks all over the place, right, Doc?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. You're right. There were ticks teeming everywhere, and we didn't get a chance to learn about that. And really, gosh, you think about it. You mentioned before Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and that's a different bacteria than what we're seeing in Lyme disease. And you also mentioned how debilitating it can be. So the reason why I'm mentioning it is because this is the season, right? April to July, that we always get out, we enjoy our family, we go camping and have a good time. But these are the times when, you're right, the bloodsuckers are out waiting. The other thing we're seeing is that since there's been such a change in our weather, I don't know if you guys noticed, but it's a lot warmer than what it used to be. And what's happening is that the ticks are living even longer. So what are some strategies so that we can make sure, and especially when you're going to church and there's a lot of picnics and things at this time of year, let's make sure that we're out there making sure that we're using some bug spray, bug repellent. I talk a lot about a natural one that can help keep them off of us. Let's make sure that we're also wearing long pants and long sleeves, and you want them to be light colored because you want to be able to see that tick on your skin. And it's not so easy because the ticks can be the size of a poppy seed. So you want to make sure that you're looking for that and doing body checks as you come in and out with your family and even your pets and everything. So it's important that this time of year you recognize that if you get this rash, which we kind of call a bullseye rash, right? It looks like a little bullseye at the site of where you were bitten, and you start to feel kind of flu-y or not yourself, that's the time to say, you know, I need to see my doc. I wonder if I've been bitten by a tick, and talk about some of the things that we can do to really make a difference.
So if you catch Lyme disease early, and again, I'm totally ignorant like I am about Anabaptists. Or I used to be before Michael, but I'm totally ignorant about Lyme disease, although I've known people that had it. It can be, it's better if you catch it early?
No, absolutely. In fact, it's really tough because a lot of the tests that we have for Lyme disease, to be quite honest, aren't so great. You can get a lot of false positives, meaning that you could have been bitten by the tick, but then your test is negative until like another month later. So you want to make sure you get in. And if you have those symptoms, yes, we can treat it. The good thing is antibiotics do help. Doxycycline is beneficial. Amoxicillin, which a lot of us are familiar with, also treats it. It takes about 2 weeks to almost 3 weeks of treatment. But the big talk now that you guys are hearing a lot about in the news is the fact that you have about 20% of people who, no matter what you do to treat Lyme, it still doesn't get better. They have the fatigue, the joint pains. And to some of the friends that you're talking about, Robbie, it can be absolutely debilitating. The good thing is that I talk to patients a lot. They come to me because they know that I want to use some different approaches that are, as I like to say, a little bit closer to the earth. And one of them is actually a medicinal mushroom mixture called AHCC. Now, I mention AHCC in particular because I love the fact that it's the number one immune supplement in Japan. I also love the fact that we have data. We have 20 human clinical trials that you can read at ahccresearch.org to learn what is this medicinal mixture doing. But what we found is that it's robustly boosting your immune system. And that's what you want, because Lyme disease, especially chronic, is an issue with the immune system being affected and it being an increased inflammatory state. And we know that inflammation causes disease. So it's not only AHCC that's important, but vitamin D we're learning about the ability to also boost our immune system. So I love when these discussions come up, guys, that don't require a prescription. These are things that we can have just in our cupboards, and make sure that we stay a little more natural. And then I think God gave us these things as well to be able to heal naturally, just like the way we used to before we had pharmaceutical companies.
So it's interesting to me that, like the ticks, they're hard to see. And so is a religious spirit, right, Michael? That spirit was coming after the Anabaptists in so many different ways. But fortunately, you know, they stood alone and said, hey, for us, you know, this is what we believe. And interestingly, you know, you had said earlier that they didn't have a big name. You don't get more than John the Baptist. I mean, was he a Baptist, Michael? He must be coughing again. We're waiting on Michael. Oh, I have to actually put him on the air. Go ahead, Michael. I'm sorry.
I want to interrupt your train of thought here for a moment and ask the doctor more about those symptoms. When that tick actually, when you find that tick on you and you remove it, because recently I had that experience. I had a tick. I found it. It was kind of on my shoulder. I was itching a little bit. And
we're going to find out about Michael and his tick when we come back.
Yeah, we'll be in suspense for now.
We're still waiting for the talking blood in the Bible at 866-348-7884. You could call in and win today. We'd love to hear from you. Where do you find out about talking blood in the Bible? 866-348-7884. We're going to find out about Michael and his tick when we come back. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom today. Here it is, the 4th of July weekend. How fun is that? And we have Dr. Michael Austin, who's with Christian History Magazine, and their latest article, Baptists in America. And Dr. Red Cross, who has been having a fascinating discussion about bracing for bloodsuckers, these mysterious tick explosion that's going on. But Dr. Red Cross has all sorts of interesting insights for us, and we're going to hear a lot more from him as we go through the show today. But right now, we have Riddlers on the line, so we're going to get to those. Don't have their name. Let's see. He's going to get me a name in a minute. And we got Dr. Austin. But let me take Dr. Red Cross back real quick. Interestingly, I just on a completely different subject. We're going to get to Michael's tick in a minute. But before we go there, it's your website. There are some wonderful, which, by the way, there's a link at kingdompursuits.com where you can link to Dr. Red Cross, which it's not hard to remember his name, drredcross.com. But you have some recipes. And I saw where you had a recipe for butternut squash soup. And one of the main ingredients I see that intrigues me, and I'll tell you why, is turmeric.
Right.
And so I had a disorder I'm sure my wife would prefer I didn't go into on the air. And so I had read somewhere that, turmeric is the answer. And I read about this recipe actually for turmeric tea, which was done with coconut milk and a lot of turmeric. And so I started taking that every morning as in hopes for my other condition. But almost immediately, I was telling one of my friends, I said, I don't know what I'm doing, but, you know, all my joint pain has gone away. Yeah. My knees don't hurt. This doesn't hurt. And that person said, well, aren't you taking a bunch of turmeric? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, there you go. So I was shocked at the effects of that turmeric. And I guess there's a lot of studies being done on that, but I see it's a main ingredient in your butternut squash soup.
Yeah, and I love talking about turmeric in particular because you're right, it's a natural anti-inflammatory. The funny thing, it's been used in Indian cuisine in particular for thousands of years and always been used as an anti-inflammatory. You know, there was even a study, and once again, without knowing the exact details, this study kind of mentioned that there may be a reduced incidence of dementia in that part of the world because of the turmeric and its benefits as far as inflammation. Now, it may have been a little anecdotal, but the point is we do know patients feel better when they take turmeric. And I love that, again, because it doesn't require some anti-inflammatory that can affect their kidneys. And I love the fact that you can do it naturally and still enjoy something as yummy as a butternut squash soup.
Yeah, I'm going to have to – that looks absolutely awesome. And I'm assuming that – and interestingly, I see that has coconut oil in it too. And yeah. Cloves, which I understand, and minced garlic, there's all those things are in there have got purposes, right?
They do. And when you talk about mint, then you're thinking about something that has a benefit that's actually anti-spasmodic. In other words, if you're having cramping and muscle pain and abdominal pain, we now know that mint has some benefit. Those patients who have irritable bowel syndrome, for instance, they benefit from peppermint oil. So all of those things are meant to be medicinally, and once again, you know, kind of healing from directly from the earth, which is, like I said, all the blessings that we have right here in front of us and figuring out how to leverage them and take advantage of them for our health each and every day.
Isn't that cool? Well, we've got Mary on the line, and she has an answer to our riddle, so we got to go there. Mary, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so glad you called in today. So do you know where you got the case of the talking blood in the Bible?
Is it Abel?
Yeah.
Cain and Abel, and God spoke of his blood calling out?
Yeah, it cried. It didn't just talk, it cried. And, you know, that's a fascinating thing, isn't it? That God would use that terminology. That literally
right.
His brother's blood was crying out.
Yeah.
And that would almost indicate that, you know, the blood had a life after the body of Abel was gone. I find all that absolutely fascinating, Mary. You're exactly right. I'm so glad you called in today.
Oh, thank you. I wasn't sure if it was right, but I thought, I do remember that, and it is interesting.
Well, you may be aware that no one has ever not been right on Kingdom Pursuits in the years and years that I have done this show. I've never had anybody get one wrong, and so the chances of you being wrong were slim to none, but actually, you're exactly right. Thank you, Mary. God bless. I appreciate you calling in. Well, we also have Keith in High Point. Keith, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you. I was going to say the book of Genesis about Cain and Abel, when God heard his, you know, the blood was crying out to him from Abel, you know, and about the blood being able to talk. And sounds like that lady got it first.
Well, you were exactly right, Keith. And you called in, so I'm really, really curious. And your particular insight, seriously, what does that conjure up in your heart that Abel's blood was crying out from the ground?
Conjures up in my heart many, many, many things, and especially like the blood that's being shed through violence today, and from that point of time up to now, and people have been murdered, abortions. The blood is crying out, and I study about World War II, World War I. And I think of all the people over there and the times I've been to Europe, and just I look around and I've looked and think their blood's crying out. You know, their blood has been crying out. And it just many things. God knows everything there is to know about us. And
yeah, he's gonna hear that cry. That's great stuff, Keith. God bless you. Thank you for your... I'm so glad you called in and you shared that. It gave me some more insight, more stuff to think about today. So you bless me.
Well, enjoy your show.
Well, thank you, sir.
Enjoy the show.
God bless.
Y'all have a blessed weekend.
You too. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, Michael, I'm so glad, you know, I accidentally cut off both my guests during the break. And so between Jasper, my call screener / producer, wonderful producer, and these guys, we finally got all connected again. But Michael, was your blood crying out to that tick grabbed? And we got to find out what happened, because when we left our hero, he had a tick on him. So take us there, Michael.
I,
I don't know if it was crying out. I was just curious about the symptoms, because what's so important about this is the doc is talking about, you know, early discovery of this and what can be done. And so, yeah, I recently had a discovered a tick kind of on the collarbone area under my T-shirt. And, you know, I was scratching away there and pulled something out, and there was a tick. And then here it is 2 weeks later, and I've got this nasty cold. So he got my attention with those symptoms. I'd like to know more about him. And if the inflammation that he described, is that something that's going to be very noticeable, or is that something hard to detect?
You know, Michael, that's a good point, because the way that you're describing it now, when you feel like you've had this cold, and in fact, I knew you were kind of coughing during the break and that sort of thing, you know, absolutely could be a tick-borne sort of illness, because it always looks like flu-like symptoms. For some people, you tend to have some of that joint pain. Remember, Lyme disease is not that old as far as us learning. We found out about it in 1975, and the only reason why we did is because there was a little area in Lyme, Connecticut, where kids looked like they had juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. In other words, all these children were having joint pain. And then we dug a little deeper and realized that they were all in this area where there was a heavy tick burden, and they sure enough had this particular bacteria. So your symptoms, specifically about the flu-like symptoms, some other people who have these joint pains, can absolutely be related to the tick bite that you actually had earlier. And it's important to go in, do your best to get those lab tests. But clinically, even if those lab tests come back negative, as that false negative report that I mentioned earlier that can happen, it'd be interesting to see how you felt after you were treated with antibiotics. And then even later with the AHCC that I mentioned before to boost your immune system and decrease that inflammation. So who knows? Maybe the good Lord had a plan for me to be on today to help you get treated for something like a tick-borne illness. You know, and I really mean that from the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, Krippy. Now, when you go for that lab test, what do you ask for?
You go in and say, hey, look, I was bitten by a tick. I want to make sure specifically that I don't have Lyme's. And it looks like it's been outside of the window for you. So that if you, in fact, get the blood test, if you're positive, it may, in fact, show up because you've had time to mount a response. Usually it's about a month out. If you haven't been a month out, then, yeah, you can be in that window to where if someone like you came in, knew you had a tick bite, I personally would still probably treat you with antibiotics first, how you do, and see if that improves your symptoms over time, recognizing that we may be out of that window and we may have to try some more novel approaches.
There you go.
Yeah, well, thank you for that.
Well, along those lines, absolutely. Getting back to my original question, because I don't forget these things, Michael.
Thankfully.
That religious spirit, that tick that happened to the poor Anabaptists, right? The Catholics, the Church of England at the time, they both had been bitten, and which had really inflamed them, when you think about it, right? With hatred, and to the point of taking blood, the point of taking blood that would cry out to God, right? That later would help form this country. And the Anabaptists, they were dissenters, but it's interesting to me that they didn't try to convert everybody, like, you need to go our way or we're going to kill you, right?
That's right.
We got to go to a break because we're right where I wanted to be, but that's okay. When we come back, I am going to be so excited to hear some of what Dr. Red Cross has for you, more of what Michael has. Stay tuned. Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today we're so blessed to have with us, we have Michael Austin, who is publisher of Christian History Magazine, their latest article, Baptists in America. And as always, I want to mention for both my guests, Dr. Ken Red Cross, who his discussion is on bracing for bloodsuckers and the many other things that have to do with inflammation and illness that we've been talking about today. If you go to kingdompursuits.com, you're going to find links there to Christian History Magazine, their latest article. All you can do to get inscription, not prescription. Let's see. What do they call it? Subscription. They get a subscription, not a prescription, for Christian History Magazine. Or, really, if you check out Dr. Ken Red Cross's, which, again, drredcross.com, it's amazing. All the recipes and the different things, but exactly what he's talking about inflammation and those kind of things. Dr. Red Cross, sure. You have such a wonderful spirit. I love hearing you talk. I'm curious how God came into your life and how you knew that he was calling you to be a doctor, help people along the lines that you're obviously helping thousands.
Sure. You know, that's a great question, actually. I mean, for me as a kid, I knew that I was always kind of one of those unique kids that the most important thing for me, and it just kind of runs in my veins now, I adore people, and I love making people happy and healthy. So, you know, I always joke that, you know, I know why Jesus has me here, and I don't know what the heck I would do if I wasn't a doctor. And so it's kind of helped me throughout the years recognize that I kind of want to put myself out there to hopefully, as I'll say, anytime you guys see me on air or any shows I may do, it's about changing lives and how I can do that. And I've been able to do that spiritually, because if I wouldn't even have enough time on the show to tell you guys how blessed I am and how blessed I've been every step of the way, from whether it be medical challenges or things that just come up that we all deal with. But I've just been so blessed, and so I love to focus on patients and that spirit. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, my first book came out. It's called Bond, and it's about bonding directly with the patient and how we can have that relationship so that your doctor can feel like a member of your family. Because I'm convinced that if we go see our physicians and we feel like they're members of our family, that'll improve our healthcare outcome and create what I love to call a patient nirvana. So years, guys, I've just realized all the blessings that I've received, and I want to give them back to each and every person that I touch throughout my life for as long as I'm blessed to be here. So it's been a very slow progression for me, but once again, one in which I wouldn't have done it any other way differently.
That's awesome. And Michael, we've heard about your faith many times because you've been on the show lots of times. But I'm curious if there's a story recently where you just went, wow, look what God did with this publication, or maybe a reader called in and shared something that literally you just saw. There's no way this could happen unless God did it.
Well, that happens all the time, and I think what has happened on this show has touched me. And what Doc has said about a couple of things has convinced me or confirmed to me that his creation, our Father's creation, speaks to us. It spoke to, it spoke to him from the earth. Blood spoke from the earth. Turmeric is from his creation. He created, you know, spices. The spice trade is an interesting historical story to look at from the point of view of the Christian faith, because actually where our Lord Jesus was born and raised was at that point the focal point of the entire world. The trade routes all went through the Middle East. They still do. Mm-hmm. And the spice trade that came from India into Europe and around the world changed the world. It changed the economics of the world. From war to food substances. Similarly, we human beings have come a long way from killing each other over our doctrinal differences to inspiring each other and to discussing reasoning with each other. And that's another principle that our Bible teaches us, is to reason. You know, our Father himself said, come, let's reason together. And so this magazine, by the way, folks can get a subscription without cost to the magazine. It's a quarterly magazine, and it is christianhistorymagazine.org. Folks can easily go on there. Plenty of opportunities to donate. Donations welcome, but not required to subscribe. So ignore those opportunities and go if finances are an issue. The supporters of the ministry are so intent on increasing the distribution of this magazine, they're willing to send out that year subscription without cost. But every time I read these amazing stories, and the Baptist, of course, is an inspiration for a couple of things that we've talked about. But that issue that I was speaking about of why and how the Baptists had an influence on our politic in America and distinguished America from really all other nations in the world, this idea of independence, and where did independence come from? The Anabaptists had an independent relationship with God, apart from the church. The church was saying, you're ours, we baptized you, you belong to us. The Anabaptists said, no, I've heard the voice of God. I've heard him in the quiet of my meditation. I've heard him in the quiet of my slumber at night, as David also talked about that. You know, at night he had this concept that his heavenly Father was actually repairing him and restoring him in his sleep. So the Anabaptists had an experience of God independent from the church. And when they started reading the Bible, which changed everything, at the time of the Reformation, when the Bible was starting to get translated and printed and distributed, this changed everything. We're still dealing with this today. But what that did was it allowed an independent relationship of the believer to his Heavenly Father through his Word, his Scripture. And that became a foundation concept, an idea that was the founding idea of America. That we have, and that's why we call it Independence Day. We are in an independent day that broke away from an oppressive monarchy and also broke away from a state church. Those two ideas distinguish America and display what America is all about, which is independence, truth, the truth of God, and those elements that created a nation that actually it was set up to rule itself. You know, our politicians and our rulers, so to speak, our president on down throughout the entire politic, they have been given permission by the people to have the powers that they have. That is an expression of extraordinary independence that was never experienced throughout history.
Well, Doctor,
so we're privileged to celebrate that on the 4th of July. Yeah.
Yeah, we are. And in that, when we celebrate on the 4th of July, Doctor, we got to take precautions. Dr. Red Cross, you still with us?
I am. I'm right here with you.
So we got to take precautions against these bloodsuckers. What other words of wisdom can you share real quick in the last couple minutes we got?
All right, so we've talked a lot about blood in so many different ways, right? And we've all circled back to this holiday season when we want to go out. We want to go out and enjoy our spiritual time with our family and our friends, but we also want to be careful and recognize that there are ticks out there this time of year, or bloodsuckers, as we're calling them. So let's be smart, cover up. Let's use some natural bug spray. Think about apple cider vinegar, citronella, tea tree oil, something like that in a spray bottle. And also think about making sure that you're aware of what's on your body. Hit checks when you come in, check the animals. And last but not least, just know that there are some treatments out there that can make a huge difference. And also talk to your doctor. Let's get that relationship that I think we all should have that I talk about in my book, Bond, and make sure that your doctor feels like a member of your family.
So your book, Bond, isn't just about for doctors, it's for patients to understand how they can go about trying to make that or create that relationship, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it's primarily for our patients, for all of us, because no matter what we do, all of us are going to be patients at some point. And what better way to have a good relationship than to understand what makes doctors tick? And more importantly, for us as physicians to understand what we can do outside of the box, things that we can talk about. I make house calls, things like that that really allow you to become close to your patient. And so I want everybody happy. And I know right now healthcare is a challenge, and I don't want it to be that way for too much longer.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Red Cross and Michael Austin again. All their information is right there at kingdompursuits.com, their websites, which is christianhistorymagazine.com, and, of course, drredcross.com. Right now, stay tuned. You got so much truth coming up for you on this, 4th of July weekend. The Masculine Journey starts here now at 12 o'clock, followed by Disciple Magazine. Thank you for listening to the Truth Network.